This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
So the great Carroll Shelby is going to build a car to beat Ferrari. With a Ford.
Correct.
And how long did you tell them you needed? 200 or 300 years?
90 days.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvin. And you know what? Over the next couple of weeks, actually, our friends over at Astro have given us a list of interesting titles to review. We've kind of had a pick of some of our favorites. And today we're quite excited, actually, to talk about something that falls into the category, not quite of a throwback because it's 2019, but it is a stuff we missed because our show wasn't in existence yet, I want to say. So we are talking today about Ford v Ferrari. Or Le Mans 66, depending on where you watched it.
So Ford versus Ferrari, I first watched it when it came out in the cinema. And I have to say, it was such a good cinema film. I'm really glad that it's now available that to watch at home, because it's one of those movies that the more you watch it, you pick up on things that you didn't notice the first time around. And it's just such a... I don't know, it's one of those movies that simultaneously manages to be very kind of like high performance. And I mean that in many ways. Like, they're great actors, there's great scripting, there's... Like, it looks like a quality film, but at the same time, at the heart of it, there's just like a sweetness and a niceness that makes it almost feel like a feel-good drama. And it does both of those things so well.
So I think the thing that surprised me the most about Ford versus Ferrari is that it became like an Oscar contender. It's so mainstream in the best way. It's such a blockbuster movie. It's got blockbuster actors and performances. And it almost veers on being one of those action car films. So I was so surprised that it got nominated, that, you know, it made it to like award season and stuff. It might be my favorite car movie since Days of Thunder. And I don't know, because I was trying to think about other movies that have the same kind of sights and sounds and just give you that pure like adrenaline rush of being in a car. I can't think of much, maybe Rush, but nothing else. So this might be my favorite since Days of Thunder, which is an old, old movie.
So we're referencing car films, and car makers are in the title, so you roughly know what this is. It's set in the 1960s, and it tells the story of Ford, the Ford Motor Company, trying to engineer a car that is going to win Le Mans in 66. And that is to, you know, rub it in Ferrari's, in their words, greasy Italian faces. And so, you know, that's pretty much the setup of it. And so Ford, led by later marketing genius Lee Iacocca, decides to employ Carroll Shelby, played by Matt Damon, who in turn employs Ken Miles, who is a racing car driver, mechanic, engineer, who, you know, essentially works on the car. And so together, all round, it's like a buddy movie. It's a racing movie. It's a little guy versus big guy, us versus them, heart versus corporate. I think it's all these things wrapped into one, which is why we keep talking about it as an experience, because it's not just a racing film, although the racing sequences are amazing.
And if you know nothing about racing, that's completely fine. And I'm talking about this from the perspective of someone who knows very little about racing. And the last time I felt this way, you mentioned Rush, Arvin, and I had the same experience going in, not necessarily knowing too much about the characters that are here, who are in themselves legends in the field of racing. But it doesn't matter, because the movie does such a good job of introducing you to them. It does such a good job of laying out the... I think the emotional stakes, where they come from, who you know, what they're aiming to do, what their dreams are. And so very quickly, I think, aided by such good performances, particularly by Matt Damon as Carroll Shelby and Christian Bale as Ken Miles, you start understanding who these people are without necessarily needing to know the historical value. And I think that's important, because if this was made only for sports fans or racing fans, it may not necessarily resonate as much as this does.
So I was halfway through the movie, I was kind of hoping that it was one of those like inner circle sort of movies, you know, that they had all the technical terms and jargon and things that only racing fans would understand. Because I was interested to know would this movie be like if I didn't understand what was going on? Because I'm also not into I'm not into like racing. I know very little about the scene, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of wish it was more technical in that sense, because it already is. Like, it's talking about the engines and the way the car functions and what this car is versus the car that Ferrari had. Maybe I wanted it to be more snooty or more snobby in that sense, and just speak to me in a language that I didn't understand, so that I would go and read up on these things and be like, you know, what does this mean? And what does that do? And what does this upgrade do for this car? I don't know, maybe it would have been more interesting. But not to say that the movie wasn't, but I was kind of wishing for that halfway through.
So I think that comes down to what we think the movie is about, right? Mm. Because to me, the heart of the film really rests in the pairing of Shelby and Miles. You know, I care about them. I care about their relationship. The fight scene in the middle is one of my all-time favorite scenes in a film.
Oh, that's such a good scene.
And it is my actual favorite scene in this movie, because I just love it so much. It goes hand in hand, I feel, with that other scene which sees Catriona Balfe kind of driving down a car and trying to get her husband to tell her the truth. And I love that scene. And I think that it's quite telling that in a movie with bravura car sequences, with amazing race sequences that really, the sound of it, the feel of it, you can actually feel like you're there. It is still those scenes that I love. And so for me, it comes down to those relationships, and that's what drives it along. Drives it.
I think that everything this movie does, it actually does quite perfectly. And that's why, in the end, would I call it a racing film? Not really. Would I call it a film about friends? Yes, but also it's more than that. And it's great when a movie does that, right? Like when you're not quite sure, or rather it has multiple stories to tell and it does all of them really well. I, in fact, even really enjoyed the whole corporate struggle and the push and pull between what Ford might want and what the race on the ground might want. And one good thing about this movie is that it doesn't make any of that feel overdone or out of place. Everything fits in really well. And even though the film does have a sort of distinct first third, second third, and third. And the third part is almost entirely the race itself, which is great because that's what you've been building up to. None of that feels superfluous. None of that feels like a drag. Every part of it holds you in its grip really well.
How much liberty can you take with a biopic before it's not a biopic anymore? This movie takes a lot of liberties. There are a lot of things that didn't happen in real life. Enzo Ferrari was not at the 66 race. Ken Miles was not barred from being at the race the year before. So this movie goes a long way to create drama and create like tension between like people, tell us stories that didn't actually happen. But then it goes like it's inspired by a true story or it's based on a true story. So how much liberty can you take before it becomes a sort of inspired by versus true story? Again, I'm saying this as someone who loves the movie, but I'm just wondering, is this even a true story or is this like a loose reenactment of what happened in the life of Ken Miles?
So I guess for me, it comes down to, it's not about Ken Miles, right? Like they didn't promise that this is going to be the life and times of Ken Miles or the life and times of Enzo Ferrari or Carroll Shelby or Henry Ford II. And because of that, to me, the quote-unquote true story that's at the heart of the film is this idea of the creation of the car. And whatever liberties are taken, if the actual nuts and bolts and, you know, the basic truth structures of the story of the making of the Ford GT40 are in place, then to me, it still works. And I guess what I'm saying is then, is this a biopic of the car? That can't be right. But I certainly don't think it's a biopic of a single person. And I think that for me, the rules are different when you say that this is a biopic of like one, you know, the definitive thing of like J. Edgar Hoover or something.
Same. It's called Ford versus Ferrari, right? It's not called, yeah, like, I don't know, Ken Miles.
The
or
life
whatever.
And times of Ken Miles.
Ken drives the miles. So I think that as long as the push of the story is around that tension, the Ford versus Ferrari and how people are trying to win this race, that part felt real. And most of that is real. Most of what happened in the race was real as well. And so I think I'm willing to suspend disbelief. I also feel, because even though I didn't go and read up about the race aspect, I did go and read a lot about Ken Miles and Carroll Shelby after watching the movie. I also feel that they kept to the spirit of their relationship. They kept to the spirit of Ken Miles. And often when I find a true story doesn't feel like a true story is when it veers too far away from that spirit.
So speaking about that spirit, I love how by the end of the, you know, the end of these biopics, they show you what the actual people look like. And Christian Bale did his best to look like an actual Ken Miles.
Well, Christian Bale smeared a lot of grease over his face.
A lot of grease.
There's a lot of grease all the time. So there is that. I want to talk a bit more about the casting and the direction, but I think we can come back and do that. Let us know, have you seen Ford v Ferrari? Do you like racing movies? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And if you're wondering where to watch it, it is available on Disney Plus Hotstar, and you can bring magic into your home with the all-new Astro Platinum Pack that has it all, the best of local entertainment and sporting events, the entire Netflix library, all of Disney Plus Hotstar and HBO, and a variety of world-class content all in one place. Enjoy 60 days free subscription when you sign up today. Visit astro.com.my for more info. Terms and conditions apply.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Look out there. Out there is the perfect lap. You see it?
I think so.
Most people can't.
Suppose Henry Ford II wanted to build the greatest race car the world's ever seen to win the 24 hours of Le Mans. What's it take?
Well, it takes something money can't buy.
Money can buy speed.
What in about speed?
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And together, we are reviewing Ford v Ferrari as part of a Stuff We Missed because it came out in 2019 and we did not exist as a show. So we've clearly established that we enjoyed it. We have also established that we enjoyed it partly because the actors are so good. Let's talk about the actors and the performances because I think that they really are the heart of the movie. There's only so many times you can watch a car zooming around, you know, however exciting it may be, or how many times you can watch someone say, get the wedge, get the wedge. So it really comes down to the actors selling it, right? Selling the heck out of the characters.
It's such a good cast. I mean, the two lead actors are great, but even the ensemble is so good. Everyone plays their part so well. Watching this movie reminded me of how Christian Bale is never not watchable. Even in bad films, that man gives everything. Like,
has he done a bad film?
Not in the last 10 years, I would think, right? Like, he picks and chooses so carefully as well. And he's so charismatic. He sinks into the role. He's so committed, but not in a way that feels like he's overdoing it. He was so perfect as Ken Miles. And Matt Damon, because the last thing I watched with him was Last Duel, it reminded me of how, I mean, the mind flip of seeing him play someone so abjectly unlikable and then hear someone so abjectly likable. Like, he can do anything in this movie and you're just like, oh, you're such a nice guy.
He's trying.
So this is a question. What does Christian Bale sound like as an actual person? Like his real self?
I think it's unestablished. I really believe that.
Yeah. Because he also does interviews in the accents of his characters.
Exactly. So I think he has a Welsh accent. But every time I'm watching a movie...
Reportedly he has a Welsh accent.
Reportedly he has a Welsh accent. But who knows whether he was playing like a Welsh character or something. So I always struggle to remember what he sounds like in real life, like as a person. And you can do that easily for other actors. Christian Bale, not at all. And he just like completely sinks into the skin of Ken Miles immediately from the moment you see him. You're like, is that Christian Bale or is that someone else? And what does this person actually sound like?
They're both so committed. I really like that about the performances. They're both going quite... It's not... I don't want to say that it's a broad performance because both are actually quite intimate and grounded, but they're big performances, right? They've both got the accents, the hat in one case, the overalls in another. You know, they're really, really going for it. And I think that that's what really sells the film and makes you forget at one point that you're watching like Jason Bourne and Batman just like rolling around on the ground and bashing each other in with like popcorn, you know. But the other characters are also really enjoyable to watch. And I think that that's important because for a film that's called Ford v Ferrari, Ford doesn't come off that well, I will say. I mean, we don't really, they're not such a big deal to us here. But I would imagine that for a movie that's being released in the United States, that there would have been some questions about, well, how exactly are we portraying ourselves here? But they don't come off well. And yet, for example, I think that Henry Ford II, as played by Tracy Letts, is needlessly complex. And I mean that as a compliment. Like, he does not have to be as complex or played with as much heart as he was But there are some scenes where he actually moved me. And I think that's saying something.
He's actually one of my favorite characters. And I think it's because, like you said, he could just be the corporate head nobody, the soulless guy who doesn't care. But the movie actually goes to some lengths to make you think of him as exactly that person who's now too far high up in a company, who means well, but has also kind of lost touch with what the spirit of the company might mean. Yeah, none of this comes across well, but it feels real rather than caricaturish or just, you know, what, all we need is a faceless corporation. And I thought that was a nice touch. And the movie has these sprinkled in throughout, right? Like things that don't need to be, you know, say, like supporting characters who are part of the pit crew, for example, and you kind of warming up to them in a way that you never expected. I thought the movie does a lot to create a, it feels very lived in.
So it was that scene, we can't get into the details, but it was that scene that made me realize why I love this movie more than other car movies or other action movies / car movies. So if you look at something like the Fast Franchise, they are so definitive in the genre, right, when it comes to cars and vehicles and racing and stuff, but they make driving look dangerous but easy. This movie lets you know that driving isn't easy. Like, it takes a certain amount of skill, practice, it takes a certain amount of hours and a kind of person with a certain stamina to control this beast of a machine.
Stamina and sensitivity.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that they showed us that this isn't something you can just hop into and just drive. Like, it's not just driving on the road. It really takes a lot of a lot of patience and a lot of care to do what these people do. And that's why they should be considered athletes, not just drivers, but actual athletes doing this job.
So I wanted to talk a bit about James Mangold, because the word that came to mind, like if you watch this film, aside from all the things that we've said, there's a certain polish to it, right? Like there's a certain a steady, sure hand to the direction of it. But the other part of it is there's a certain muscularity as well. And when I think about James Mangold, the word that comes to mind for his films is muscular. I feel like he makes very robust films about men very often, but done in a way that makes you... I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's only about interrogating masculinity, nor does it feel like it's diving into what it means to be a macho person. Like, none of that is what's happening. But they are very often male stories, and they're very energetic, muscular, robust kind of movies.
And I think that you used the word big earlier, Lynn, and Irene, you said blockbuster earlier. And I think that all of that comes from a very particular touch that James Mangold is able to bring. I mean, if we think of something like Logan, when he goes big, he really goes big, right? The race scenes are so much fun to watch, so exhilarating. But then when he goes small, when they're like small moments or just friendships or words or expressions, he knows when to take a beat and when to take a pause.
Those quiet scenes.
Yeah. And I think that that's actually quite an interesting thing to talk about in terms of James Mangold, because this is very much a male-driven story, but he presents so many different versions of what that might mean.
That, and Molly is such an awesome character.
So that touch that we're talking about when it comes to James Mangold, I think I realized with this movie specifically more than the others is that it's sound. I think that his signature sort of approach or his contribution is purely sound, and the sound that he brings to the movies. Because how do you know what an engine is if you don't know what an engine is, right? So they never show you what's inside the car. They never get into the mechanics of the car. The only way you know is when the car roars, and it actually roars. Like, the sound design of Ford versus Ferrari is amazing. And then I went back to thinking about stuff like Logan, and you think about the sound of the claws, the sound of bones, and the sound of bones being broken. And then you go back to 310 to Yuma, same thing, the sound of the boots, the wear, the costumes, the trains. I think it's sound. I think he brings a very signature understanding of what sounds good to an audience, and he did that like to an 11 in this movie.
The other thing, right, and this goes back to that comparison to Fast and Furious, there isn't a fetishization of the vehicle, which is interesting, because in most car movies or racing shows or whatever, there is usually that very specific kind of Michael Bay semi-pornographic shot of the engine, and there is a very specific way that people shoot cars, right? It's the pistons, it's the wheels, it's, you know, there's a kind of cinematic language to it, which he almost entirely does away with. Instead, you see people bashing things with mallets, or, you know, cars falling apart, bursting into flame, but there isn't that kind of lingering love off the car, which I personally enjoyed.
It feels more like an engineering nerd film than a car nerd film.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of nice, because even when you talked about what it requires to be a racer, there's a lot of emphasis on the thinking behind it, the planning, the drawing out of charts and
markers.
Yeah. And I think those things make you feel, even if you're not into the sport, it doesn't other you.
And weirdly, there's a sort of flip side effect to that. So they treat the car like a pet. So there's so much of tenderness and softness.
You have to be kind to the car.
You have to be kind to it. And then at a certain speed, 7,000 RPM, you kind of, everything slows down and then you get to like communicate with the car. And as there's a sort of language between the driver and the car that was nice. It's like a soft sentimental touch.
Can I just say, because I think I'm the only person here who's actually seen this show, that if you enjoyed Ford v Ferrari, that Drive to Survive on Netflix is really fun. I've mentioned the show, and season 4, I think, you know, has had some criticisms, especially for how it presented that particular season. But all the things that we're talking about, right, like the cinematic understanding of how to shoot a race, the belief that the driver behind the wheel is in some ways as important, not just the driver, but the whole team is as important as the car, the sound, the feeling of being in, you know, an F1 vehicle, all of that actually Drive to Survive nails really well.
I'm not even a driving fan, sure. I'm not even a racing fan. And I've actually been wanting to watch Drive to Survive because it just looks really interesting.
Actually, this is the movie that prompted me to get into documentaries about cars and, you know, getting into like exactly how does this work? Because again, it shows you and it proves to you that this is not a normal car. Like you think a car is a car is a car. It's not a car. It's a machine, like a beast made of metal.
We've been talking today about Ford v Ferrari. Let us know. Have you seen it? Do you like it? Have you watched Drive to Survive? I mean, do you like in general, I guess, shows about racing, about cars? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And of course, if you want to watch either Ford v Ferrari or Drive to Survive, bring magic into your home with the all-new Astro Platinum Pack that has it all. The best of local entertainment and sporting events, the entire Netflix library, all of Disney Plus Hotstar and HBO, and a variety of world-class content all in one place. Enjoy 60 days free subscription when you sign up today. Visit astro.com.my for more info. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.